Welcome to Be Truly Heard with me, coach and voice expert Anne Leatherland. If you're a woman in business looking to speak with authority, warmth and authenticity, this is the podcast for you. We'll explore valuable personal growth strategies alongside vocal skills, so you can overcome confidence barriers and communicate what's inside. Your voice matters. It's time to be truly heard. Hello and welcome to this episode of Be Truly Heard with me, Anne Leatherland. Now, one of the things that women I work with mention to me is the frustration and fear of being interrupted. Some of them have experienced really unhelpful interruptions. And in fact, one client said to me that she was absolutely annihilated when people interrupted her in a meeting, and it took her a long time to regain her confidence. Now, it is true that women suffer more interruptions than men in meetings. There is actually research, which, let's face it, can be ego-driven. But these interruptions can also come not just from men, but from other women and obviously people of other genders as well. Now, my guest today has had her fair share of dealing with this kind of situation, and she's a singing voice specialist, author, researcher and pedagogue based in the UK and working internationally as well. She's also a director, along with her equally expert husband, Jeremy Fisher, of the company Vocal Process. And I'm very proud to introduce to you Dr. Gillian Kayes. Welcome, Gillian.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you very much. And I think I'd like to sort of add to the bio and to let the listeners know, I am definitely a reluctant presenter. And one of the places where my career has taken me has been standing up in front of people and talking at large meetings and in training sessions. And it's, you know, it's taken a lot of skill and practice to get to a place of confidence.
Yes. Yes, I can imagine that. And I've done less of that than you have, but on the big occasions where I've had to speak in public, I do understand that feeling of anxiety that one gets when we have to just be there in front of people who we know are going to listen very closely to what we have to say, and in some cases may even have written the papers and the books that we are talking about. And that can be quite stressful, can't it? But the thing about having interruptions is it spoils your flow, but it can also make you feel really anxious about how to continue. But have you ever experienced these kinds of situations? What kinds of interruptions have you had?
Do you know, it's so interesting, because when you invited me to do this podcast, you know, I was sort of reflecting on various things. What I realized now is that after more than 25 years of running events, you know, standing up in front of people, talking, going to meetings, etc., after that length of time, actually, I don't get interrupted very much. Isn't that interesting? And I was wondering why. And I do think it is to do with a degree of certainty, which I'd quite like us to talk about later, because I know certainty is very important for you. Just a couple of things I wanted to draw on as well that, you know, when you first talked to me about this, I'm just going to stick my neck out and say, do you know what? Have you ever heard a man called bossy?
No.
Are men ever called bossy?
I like it that you're going straight there, Gillian, with that.
Well, actually, I think it's really, really important, because I have definitely been called bossy in situations where perhaps I needed to be assertive, perhaps not so much in meetings, sometimes in group training sessions that I was attending as a trainee. I have been called bossy, and I have even had women take me aside afterwards and say, oh, you know, people really didn't like your tone of voice. And I was thinking, what was wrong with my tone of voice. I was in a large group. I needed to speak out. Is that a problem? Why are you telling me that? And I think it's very interesting that you mentioned that women interrupt as well. You know, there's a meme going around at the moment, isn't there, that we call women bossy when they're leaders. We call men boss, the boss. We call women bossy. And I'm just wondering how much that might sometimes, you know, women might not even be aware of it as something that they've absorbed because, you know, it is, it's a criticism to be called bossy, bossy boots. You know, I certainly heard that when I was growing up and I heard it talked to, you know, that other girls were described as a bossy boots and maybe kind of that is part of it. So it would be useful for any listeners to think, gosh, do I ever think of someone being bossy and why do I do that? And what is a more positive word I could replace with that? So I think for me, learning to take the lead and feeling confident with that has definitely helped with interruptions.
Yes. Yeah, I think it would because it would emanate that energy of authority and of you being in charge of what you're going to say and you being completely happy with what you want to convey. And that energy, in a way, is palpable to people. They can pick it up. It's like if you go to see a performer and they're not very experienced, and I'm coming back to singers here because I have a lot of experience with them as well. But thinking about a singer and you know that they're struggling in the song and you lose your confidence in them and you feel bad for them and then everything begins to unwind. So it's the same with speaking. We need to be confident in what we're doing and that comes across. It can be a real problem, though, when we lose that confidence and it begins to drain away. And I've been in situations like that myself years ago now, but I would always apologize for myself if ever I did something and it didn't go quite as I wanted it to. But eventually it leads to people thinking that perhaps you don't know what you're talking about and it undermines you in what you're doing, doesn't it? We have to be absolutely sure of what we're doing.
Yes, I think that's true. And then there can often be at a meeting someone who for some reason feels slightly challenged, either by what it is that you have to say. Maybe they're having a bit of cognitive dissonance, or maybe they feel challenged because they're not the person up there for some reason. And if you start to reveal that type of vulnerability where you apologize for yourself. And I think that's different from true vulnerability, which says, this is me, I'm here, this is what I'm able to offer you. But just going back to the first thought that that person picks that up and then they will go in, you know, they will start talking to somebody else, for example. That is a form of interruption. It's very different. And if you're working with a group of people, you can feel the difference between them saying, oh, that was really interesting. And someone else is going, this is boring. Well, I don't agree with that. Yes. Even if you're not hearing the words, I think you pick up the vibe. Yes.
You do. You do. You pick up the energy, definitely. And sometimes if you really excite people with what you say, then they go off talking because they're excited about what you've said. And you have to bring them back from that. But that's very different to the sort of rumbling that goes on when people don't agree or have something to say that they think is better. And it's a very different vibe, you're right.
There was an important turning point in my own development, and I can't remember which particular event it was. But, you know, after several years of feeling really scared when I stood up and did training sessions with people or presented to people, not so much because I felt an imposter, but I was just scared. I was nervous. I was anxious, you know.
Stage
fright. And then one day I was talking about something and I just felt this silence in the room. And it went through my head, oh my God, they're listening to me. They're listening to me. And it was really powerful. And I held on to that the next time I had to do something. didn't always work quite as well. You know, every meeting that you're at, every presentation, any training session you do, there is an exchange. Whether those people open their mouths or not, there is an exchange.
Definitely.
And it's an energy exchange. And I think, you know, my one piece of advice to anybody out there, if you have got to, you know, deliver at a meeting or a training session or whatever, make contact with the audience, make contact with your colleagues, connect with them. It doesn't mean you have to be icky with them, but no. it's that sense of, I'm here, you're here. And then going back to having certainty in what it is that you want to say, which allows you not to be afraid if you don't know something. I mean, the number of times I have to go, do you know what? That's really interesting. And I do not know.
Absolutely. That's perfectly fine. I think people are sometimes worried that if they say they don't know, then that the audience will think that they are somehow lacking. But it's far better to admit that you don't know or say that you'll find out than it is to just make it up on the spot, because I think then you really do undermine yourself, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And I think if someone interrupts, you know, for instance, with a question, so you're mid-flow talking about something, you've got your PowerPoint up, you've done your stuff, and someone goes, oh, but what about?
Yeah. Yes.
And they do that.
They do.
I think you have to learn to read the room. Is it a genuine question? In other words, someone is very excited. Mm-hmm. In which case, you need to ask them a bit more about the question. You can go, oh, okay, tell me more about that. And then you've taken charge because you've acknowledged their question. You've taken charge. And then you can say, you know what? I'd like to park that for now. Let's talk about it at the end of this presentation. That person then feels heard, even if, in fact, they were being a nuisance. They feel heard. You've taken charge and you've parked it for later. And then it's up to you what time you finish. Mm-hmm. So you have to read that. I think if you genuinely feel that it's someone trying to derail you, I'm just wondering if some kind of body language or physical gesture can go, which is, thank you. What I need to do is finish this point for everybody in the room. And if there's time, we'll come back to you.
Mm-hmm. So you did some quite strong gestures there. So you lifted your arms up, didn't you? And then you sort of did a pointing maneuver.
Yeah, of course, you don't want to do that because that encourages aggression.
No, it's just an indication, really, an indication.
Yes. Rather than going, oh my God, you know.
And closing down.
Yeah, or fiddling with your mouse because you're scared and getting nervous. Mm-hmm. I do think it's about being grounded at that moment and not being afraid. You know, you need body language. If necessary, you come out from behind your table. I do love to be behind a table if I'm presenting in public. Makes me feel very safe. Come out from behind your table, you know, and park your behind and look at that person and look around the room. Take a beat. You can be in charge of that beat. That person's thrown their ball at you and you can go, okay.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have advised people to do that. If I might share about one client that I worked with,
lovely,
I don't do the kind of work that you do, as you know. But this female was working in a professional atmosphere that is very, very male dominant and has a male dominant culture in the way that they deal with people. And she was not like that. And, you know, one day she had a meeting to go to and she was concerned about simply being ignored and overridden in the meeting. So we devised a plan and the plan was that she would turn up at the meeting almost late. And she's quite a petite woman. And she was to walk into the meeting. We practiced this. Walk into the meeting with her coat open, go, ah, I'm, you know, put, dump all her stuff on the table, all the files or anything, and be standing above everybody else in that room, in that boardroom. I'm so-and-so, and I'm here to do this.
Perfect.
And apparently it worked really well and has been used on several occasions. So this is where body language helps. And also rehearsal.
Yes. I mean, we've talked about this in some of my previous podcasts, but yes, absolutely, I agree. That whole thing of just walking in and dumping your stuff and being there makes an energy impact, doesn't it, as well? Mm-hmm. It says, I'm here, I'm arrived, and now I'm in charge, and you're here to listen to me.
Yeah, and practice doing it, just looking around, smiling, you know, just making that eye contact. And, you know, without it being aggressive, you're not coming in and eyeballing them, you know.
No. I think a really good tip is to just look over the top of people's heads. If you just look at the point, just at the top of the head, it looks as if you're looking at them.
Yes.
And it's quite a good one. And do that in several directions in the room. And then everybody feels that they're getting that. But you don't have to actually eyeball them directly, because obviously that can be off-putting and we don't want that.
That tweak, Anne. I'd just like to share a personal story about my PhD viva several years ago, where, to be honest, I felt that one of the examiners really wanted to fail me. It was question after question after question. And, I began to feel really negative about it. And you're in a small boardroom. I asked for a comfort break, which they had told me I was allowed to have. And so I walked down the corridor and I went to the loo. And I just walked around there, just talking to myself. And I looked in the mirror and I said, you've worked hard for this. Your supervisor has told you that it's an excellent thesis. I went back into the room and I did the thing with my hands on the table. I stood up, I put my hands on the table and I said, right, I'm ready for the next round. And then I sat down.
I love that.
Now you can't walk out of the meeting if you're in a meeting like that necessarily. But again, it's going back to that sort of positive, positive taking of control and the physical gesture. For me, putting my hands on the table grounds me. Mm. There is something else you can do. Interruptions coming at you, perhaps in a small meeting, you can...
Yes.
Raise your hand and take a breath. You need to take the breath in audibly, because this is a human signal that you've got something to say.
Yes.
And then I think something you can do as a female, because often our voices are heard as being either weaker or more histrionic than male voices, in the sense of when we are excited or upset, we may raise pitch, and then we're told we're being hysterical.
People really need to listen to women's voices. They really need to listen to us as women rather than expecting us to sound like men, don't they? It needs to be
totally
that.
Totally. I think you've done a podcast about this already, and I thought it was really good.
Thank you.
So you take your breath in, you make a gesture if you want, and you go, oh, I have something to say here. And I think these glottal onsets are really useful. And then you talk in a nice measured voice afterwards. So you bring your pitch down.
I think that's really wise advice. And a glottal onset, for those who don't know out there, it's just a little bit of connection of our vocal cords, or vocal folds, as we now call them. And it's that little sound that just goes, as in, and, okay, all right. And it just pinpoints that moment for us, doesn't it? And gives us that energy and says we want to move forward. Oh, that's wonderful. So we have a lot of value that we can get from using body language and using gestures that help us to connect with our energy and our authority, and that also give other people those signals. And as well as that, listening to people, not panicking, and staying calm, and also showing that you have heard them. Because I think that makes a big difference, doesn't it? Even if something could possibly derail you, to say, oh, yes, that's very interesting. I really must move on now, but we can think about that at the end, or whatever it happens to be.
It gives you time, doesn't it, Anne? It gives you time if you I'm very conscious I interrupted you then.
No, it's all right.
We know each other extremely well. I think we gives you time, you know, as just as you've said, you've heard the question, and that buys you some time to think.
Yes.
I think positive affirmations are really useful here. I put this in my handbag and in my pocket all the time at a conference I did back in 2022 when I was running my very first round table panel session. And I wrote these affirmations. I am calm, I am gracious, and a little bit fabulous. And, yes. You know, ask your friends, what would they write? And just come up with two or three words. And, you know, look at that little card you make for yourself, you know, make it colourful if you want to, have it in your handbag, so that you've got that real sense of who you are and what you have to offer. And I honestly think that it does change your energy.
It does. It changes your energy. It changes the way you feel about things. It changes your level of self-belief. And I think that really comes across. You're then much freer to give your message in the way that you want to. Mm. Oh, well, thank you so much, Gillian. It's been a real pleasure having you on the podcast today. And thank you for all those wonderful insights as well. And where can people contact you, Gillian, if they want to get in touch? What's the best way?
Okay, the best way is to head to the Vocal Process website, www.vocalprocess.co.uk, or you can email me, Gillian@vocalprocess.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. Well, next time we'll be celebrating the milestones in our vocal journeys. If you've been listening to the podcast regularly and applying the ideas, I'd love to hear from you about how your journey is going. So have you noticed changes or improvements in your meetings and presentations? And if so, get in touch at anne@annleatherland.co.uk or join the Be Truly Heard forum, that's a Facebook group, and comment there. Then I can celebrate your achievements by sharing them in the next episode. All for now. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of Be Truly Heard. Please look out for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Anne Leatherland, or learn more at annleatherland.co.uk. If you have questions and comments about speaking with confidence, I'd love to hear from you and will respond in future episodes. Be Truly Heard is brought to you by Vocal Intuition and produced by The Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Anne Leatherland. Bye for now.